Hi, this is Pastor Greg, and you're listening to Chosen Generation Radio. Get more at ChosenGenerationRadio.com. That's Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glass.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
I thank and praise God for this borewell that God has enabled us to put in this village with the prayer and support of Pastor Greg Young and Chosen Generation Radio Ministry, and by the prayer and support of the Pastor Greg Young and the Chosen Generation Ministry, we could put the borewell in this village for the community. Before, this community was drinking dirty water, and that was really causing a lot of sickness. But now they are getting pure and fresh water, and all the community is so thankful for Pastor Greg Young and Chosen Generation Ministry and all the supporters. And we pray for all of you that God would bless you and God would use you so that we can put more and more borewells in a poor and a needy community, those who are really having a problem of the water. And this is this borewell we have put, and pure and fresh water is coming, and we are so thankful for all of you. Especially we thank to Pastor Greg Young and Chosen Generation Ministry that help us and support us to put the borewell. Thank you. God bless you.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at cgrwellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any difference. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole-food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clear. Even believe I slept better. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio at checkout and receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Any of the products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
Welcome to Chosen Generation with your host, Pastor Greg Young.
But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should shew forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy.
And now, Chosen Generation, where no topic is off limits and everything is filtered through biblical glasses. And now, here's your host, Pastor Greg.
This is Adam Mundahl with State Air. We need people on radio willing to speak about the Bible, the Constitution, and putting God back in our nation again. So join me in sponsoring Chosen Generation and Pastor Greg. Call him today at 830-446-3624. That's 830-446-3624. This has blessed my business and it will bless yours.
And welcome to the program. Great to have you with me. Thanks so much for being here. I know you have a choice of where you can listen each and every day, and I thank you for being here. I apologize. I'm just just slightly late getting the jump on here. It's two gigantic things that I found this morning that I'll tell you straight up, I was not prepared to find. One, the Supreme Court has halted an order blocking the Biden administration's efforts to contact social media firms. The Biden administration has, in fact, come out and said that they are. Let me find. This is actually okay. Where do I need to go back to? Well, now come on. Which one of these did I open up that jumped me to it? Okay, White House sent a letter to news execs urging outlets to ramp up scrutiny of GOP's Biden impeachment inquiry based on lies. This is on CNN Business dated September 13th, 2023. That was done in part as a result of this Alito or in front of the Alito decision. And Alito and the Supreme Court have removed the block. So we'll get into that down the road. Probably get into that this morning also with Michael Morris and Newsbusters and get their thoughts on it, because the censorship is what they deal with. So we'll talk about that at top of hour number three, I guess. In addition to that, there were a couple of American Gulag stories that just absolutely break my heart. One of them is about Isaac Thomas. Another one is about Joshua Hernandez. You can read those at AmericanGulag.org, and we'll try to get those up at our website as well. And then, of course, I had Jeff Zink on yesterday. If you missed that interview, I really encourage you to check out the interview that I did with Jeff Zink yesterday. His son, Ryan, is facing 31 years for standing on the steps of the Capitol and expressing what so many Americans are saying. We the people are under siege. 60 days in prison for free speech that says something that the government says they don't want you to say. I want you to get that straight. And I don't consider these people to be our government. I consider them to be tyrants. We are under tyranny, which brings me to my first guest today. And he has been a warrior for our Constitution and an educator about our Constitution. And this past Sunday was, in fact, Constitution Day, the 17th of September. And I couldn't think of a more fitting program for us to have today, David, than one that talks about our Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, when the tyrants that are in place have decided that the Fourth Amendment, the Fifth Amendment, and the Sixth Amendment are literally and completely meaningless, as is the First Amendment, which is a freedom of religion, a freedom of speech. There is no free press. They're sending out letters. My God, they're sending out letters telling the media what they can and cannot say, with an underlying threat that if they don't toe the line, they may have their, I don't know, what are they going to do? Get the FCC to pull their licenses? I mean, my God, man. And so we don't have that. We don't have a ability to peacefully assemble. We can't assemble and talk about what they're doing and say, hey, what was the Paul Revere, right? The rebels are coming, or the
redcoats.
Yeah, the redcoats are coming. The redcoats are coming. I mean, come on. I was talking with Jeff yesterday, and he's anticipating. He was actually forewarned. I want you to hear this, and then we'll get into the Constitution because it's important. Jeff was forewarned. Last Wednesday, his son was convicted and is facing sentencing of 21 years, and then they're going to do an add-on where they're going to label him as a domestic terrorist, so they're going to add 10 more years. So 31 years total. And he was told that as soon as the jury renders its verdict, we're going to arrest you if you're in the courtroom. Because you've said that you were with your son at the Capitol on January 6th. So since you were there, we're going to arrest you if you're in the courtroom when you're, when your son's verdict is read. Oh, and by the way, they said this to him a week before the jury even came and said, hey, we have a verdict. They said, when your son is convicted, well, maybe not a week, but maybe about 48 hours. But they said, when your son, so before the jury had ever rendered its decision, they said, when your son is convicted, if you're in the courtroom, we're going to arrest you. How do they know the jury's going to render a guilty verdict, David? How do you, you're not supposed to know that.
Right.
You're not supposed to know what the verdict is going to be and what the jury is going to say until the jury has rendered its verdict and gone through its deliberations. And yet he was told, when your son is convicted, when the jury renders its conviction, you're going to be arrested. This is out of control.
There's way too many stories like that, and Greg, in the situation that we're talking about, and it's you mentioned tyranny. That's a very, very popular word within the Declaration of Independence regarding what they when they were referring to King George and the tyrannical rule that they were being being subjected to during the run up to July 4, 1776. The Declaration of Independence is, in fact, an outline of what happens when a government fails to see to it that it protects the people's right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And there's an outline of the kind of things that a government does that makes it illegitimate. And I would suggest that the things that you're talking about, I'd suggest that the circumstances in Georgia that I'm intimately involved in, that's almost every day that I'm involved with something coming out of Georgia these days, because with 19 defendants, including President Trump and my client, Reverend Stephen Lee, there's just this roll of motions being filed by all the various parties. We filed a couple of motions regarding severance and giving us a bill of particulars, but actually President Trump and I believe Powell and Cheesebro have filed a motion to dismiss based on the supremacy clause actions.
Right.
Because, you know, that motion has been on file. So that's going to be, we're going to be litigating that, but it's very, very difficult to have faith in the judicial system as well. And that's the last place, because of course, those judges in the federal system are appointed for life. So there's many judges that were appointed on the bench before the woke judges got there. And so it's a combination of, you know, it's kind of like hitting the lottery if you find a judge that still is bound to the law and the Constitution. We're in very, very dangerous times. All the institutions have been compromised. And so, including from what you're telling me, it sounds like a jury has been compromised. At least that's the potential meaning of that particular story.
Well, the other piece, David, that they did was is they took his cell phone. His cell phone. He had taken a number of pictures, including pictures of an actual criminal event. The individual who was responsible for kicking in the windows and so on. They had that on video, and they turned that over to the FBI and so that they could prosecute. That guy got prosecuted and gave him basically kind of a misdemeanor slap on the wrist and some probation for actually breaking out the windows in the door and for his role. But they took the rest of the pictures that were on his phone and they wiped them. So the other pictures that would have exonerated him, that were his defense, they destroyed that evidence.
Okay, well, there's another reason to always back up your phone. You know, like in the cloud and elsewhere. Actually, I have an external hard drive that my phone gets backed up on. Besides the cloud normal backup, every periodically I back up my phone on an external hard drive because I've got a lot of documents, and now you mentioned pictures and things like that. So, but I don't know. I'm a bit of a loss. On the bright side, you mentioned Constitution Day. Mm-hmm. And Constitution Day, this last Sunday, I had been invited out to a place called Morrison, Illinois. And that's, it's a small town, probably 2 hours west of Chicago. And there was about 60 people for what they call an I Love America rally it was put on by an organization called, they referred to themselves as PAN, Preserve America Now. And there's a fellow by the name of Joseph, and Joseph started this organization about 2 years ago. He had 50, 60 people there for this I Love America rally. And then they've now got chapters in about 20 states. So there's good people, too. There's good people and good things stepping forward to try and educate and defend us of from the bad things that are happening.
Amen. So,
we have to keep that up. It was so... inspiring to be with these folks. I was blessed to have been their keynote speaker then, but I was preceded by a United States Marine who had been in Iraq, and the stories that he told of heroism in the Marines and the kind of things that those guys were doing to defend our freedom. But then he also said, to come back to some of the things that were not in consistent with the kind of activity, the kind of things that they consider themselves putting their lives on the line for, was also sobering. So it was a combination of education, sobering, and celebration. And I think a lot of Americans need to be participating in those kinds of things. Those opportunities exist, and there's plenty of us around. And I would hope that folks will look for things like Preserve America Now and Florida Citizens Alliance and the Illinois Freedom Alliance. There's a lot of citizens that are trying to do things. We can't. Elections are too important to leave to the government.
Yeah, I agree. Well, it's so. Let's talk about the Constitution, and I'd like to begin, if we could, by talking about the relationship between the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence.
Absolutely, because there is no, first of all, there is no Constitution without a Declaration of Independence. I frequently, when I do talks on this subject, I do introduce it with the fact that the Constitution is actually a mechanical execution kind of document, and the Declaration of Independence is the inspirational document that sets forth what America is all about, and the Constitution is to execute the ideals of the Declaration of Independence in a mechanical sort of way. And it's a shame that everybody talks about studying the Constitution, and that's important. But the fact is you don't really understand the Constitution if you don't understand the Declaration of Independence. And so we always start with the Declaration of Independence, what I refer to as the American Creed, which is, of course, starts with, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that governments are instituted among men to secure these rights, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. If we got that, we could get much of the rest of it. But the next paragraph is got to do with the fact that if the government doesn't secure those rights, then people have the right, no, the duty, to alter or abolish the government. And this is why, of course, the government doesn't teach the Declaration of Independence. It's why they emphasize the Constitution, which is the mechanical application designed, obviously, to give authority to the Constitution, to the government, but it's also designed to control the government. But they only talk about the authorities. They don't talk about the controls. And so that's why we need to know the Declaration of Independence, Declaration of Independence, of course, has what they call 28 grievances against King George. Certainly among them has our grievances about people being deprived of the right to a jury trial as a practical matter. When apparently it sounds like if the outcome of the jury was known before the jury deliberated, it sounds like this fellow is derived of his right to a jury trial. You know, we have problems where the Constitution says that it defines grand jury matters, and yet and talks about grand juries and prosecutions within the department or the district that the offense takes place, and yet you have a situation where a jury, grand jury in Washington, D.C., is essentially feeding a grand jury in Florida. The Florida grand jury issues an indictment based on what happens in Washington, D.C. The problems are legendary, and the only way people will know what the problems are is if they know what the Constitution and the Declaration are.
That's an important one there, because that was the one that had to do with the raid that was done at Mar-a-Lago, correct?
Right. Yeah.
And so the folks understand the process there. You had a grand jury in Washington, D.C. that heard whatever it is that they heard. They then sent their findings to a grand jury in Florida who never heard anything except what the grand jury in D.C. told them, and exactly. Then they issued a warrant and the feds
an indictment
and then the feds went in the indictment turns into a warrant.
No. The warrant is something that happens in advance of that and is issued by a judge during the course of a grand jury investigation.
Okay, but it was a warrant that was served on Mar-a-Lago, or was, right? Am I correct?
Yeah, there was a warrant served on Mar-a-Lago, but that was issued by a Florida judge. But the grand jury itself, the grand jury hears evidence from the warrant and from other testimony from people, and then they're the ones who sign off and determine whether or not there's probable cause to file charges and bring a case. And in this instance, most of the evidence that the Florida grand jury relied upon was evidence that essentially, as you said, was gathered by the Washington, D.C. grand jury. And in many instances, they only got secondhand, or they got the equivalent of hearsay, because it was not presented to them. It was presented to Washington, and Washington sent them a report. And okay. That's not how it goes.
So the grand jury, so let me just understand. So the grand jury in Washington, D.C. supposedly heard whatever evidence they heard.
Right.
They then sent that down to a grand jury in Florida.
Florida. Right.
The grand jury in Florida issued the indictment against President Trump.
Right. And they should have done their own independent investigation and didn't really.
And who and a federal judge issued a warrant.
The warrant is in advance of the indictment, Greg. The warrant.
That's what I'm trying to figure out here. That's what I'm trying to understand. I'm not an attorney. I'm not a lawyer. I don't know. That's why I'm asking you to clarify it for me, because I didn't follow what you said.
Yeah, no. The warrant is part of the investigation, part of the gathering of information process.
So who did the investigation? Where was the investigation actually done? Do we even know?
No, we don't. Because the Florida grand jury was only impaneled for a short period of time. The Washington grand jury had been impaneled for pretty close to a year. And so they'd been accumulating a lot of the information.
But in order for a judge in Florida to issue the warrant,
you don't need a grand jury for a warrant, okay?
No, I understand, but you do at least need some kind of probable cause. There needs to be some kind of crime that was committed. Something has to trigger a judge to issue. You don't just issue a warrant, as I understand it. Now, based on everything we've talked about this morning, maybe now you do. Maybe you just issue warrants because what the hell? I don't like you, so I'm going to issue a warrant. We're going to come into your house. We're going to search your home. looking for a crime. And honestly, that was part of the conversation I had with Jeff, but you and I've had that same conversation. That's what's going on now. What they're doing now is they come after you and they arrest you, and then they go through your life and they try to find a crime while you sit in jail without having been charged anything. Ladies and gentlemen, let me explain to you what countries that happens in. That happens in Cuba. That happens in Russia. That happens in China. That happens in places like Iran. That does not, and I, well, it is. It's happening.
It's not it's, supposed it's, to it, happen
but,
in
but
America.
Under the Fourth, Fifth, and Sixth Amendments of the Constitution of the United States of America, it is not to happen here. They are not, and actually, it's interesting because if I'm, let me grab the, I pulled well, this up.
Go ahead and grab, but let's talk just a minute. The Fourth Amendment is the amendment that applies to warrants and arrests. Okay, and it's, of course it says no warrant will issue except upon probable cause based upon a sworn statement by a law enforcement official, essentially. So a law enforcement official can go to a court and say, we believe that there's a crime being committed. This is the information we have regarding that. We would like the court's authority to search and seize this particular property. And it's, and of course, it says what you're supposed to, particularly it says with particularity, that is what it is that you're looking for, where it is that you're looking, and why it is that you're looking. And then the judge signs off on that. That does not require the existence of a grand jury to do that.
Right.
That's part of an ongoing investigation by a law enforcement authority. But the judge then, the judge supposedly is an impartial magistrate that stands between the government looking at searching somebody's and their home and their property or their car or whatever, or arresting them, and the government. The judge is supposed to be the impartial arbiter. But when judges, you know, I'm still waiting for now the FISA court to slap down the lawyers that lied to them. We all know that the FISA warrants that were issued regarding any number of folks, including Mr. Papadopoulos and some of the other folks early on in the Crossfire Hurricane. We know that those warrants were issued based on lies told to the judges. And yet the judges are sitting there silent and not doing anything about the folks that lied to them. This is really, really dangerous, because that's what the judiciary is supposed to do. They're supposed to stand in the way there, and they're not. They're part and parcel. They rubber stamp, sign off. Oh, you want a warrant? Sure, that's okay. They're like part of the executive branch in many instances. And had I gone when I was a prosecutor, I was part and parcel getting warrants issued on a regular basis. Had I lied to a judge and the judge found out, I would be in jail. I mean, it's just, you know.
You should have been, but yeah. But the way that things are working now, it doesn't seem to matter.
No, well, that's like I said, that's what the whole FISA misuse circumstance that has been going on for 6-7 years now, at least that we know of, maybe 8 years, closer to 2015, when Trump announced, we know about the abuses of the FISA court, and those abuses have been driven by, in fact, lying to the court. And yet,
see,
the
David, let me throw this out there too, though, because there's the other danger. And if you look at the 45 goals of the communists, one of the goals that's in there has to do with the destruction of the institutions and the destruction of the FBI. And I know you and I've talked about that the FBI and is not really a constitutional agency and so on. But there was a reason why the communists targeted a group like the FBI, whose original intent or chartered purpose, if you will, was actually to conduct these investigations regarding entities like communists who were operating within the continental United States, within our 50 states. My point being this, the problem we have is twofold. It's a double-edged sword, as I see it. On the one hand, here we are saying justice is not being upheld, which is a gigantic issue. On the other hand, we've lost faith in the institutions, and not just the FBI, but all of them, Department of Justice, the judicial branch as a whole, all of them, the legislative branch, all of these people, we've lost faith in their ability to honestly conduct their affairs.
Yeah.
And so it's a double-edged sword that leads to the complete and total implosion of our constitutional republic, because we're fighting for justice and we're not getting it, and the institutions that are supposed to give us that justice are operating rogue and unjust.
Yeah, the problem is that, well, there's any number of problems, but certainly the structure where we were supposed to have separation of powers and see to it that there was checks and balances has essentially fallen by the wayside. When a judge approves a warrant based on a lie and then does nothing to redress that circumstance, the judge is now no longer enforcing the separation of powers between the judiciary and the executive branch. When the Congress has given all this authority to the agencies to issue law and then enforce the law themselves, we no longer have a legislative branch that is, in fact, a check on the executive branch. So we're in kind of a post-constitutional world where the actual structures that are built into the institutions to ostensibly protect us are not working. They're not working because these groups, and then it's a long story, but it starts with the 17th Amendment.
Absolutely, yeah. Right. And so let's do this. We're going to take a break. When we come back, let's talk about why the 17th Amendment is somewhat of a linchpin for how this thing has unraveled. Yeah. And this was, you know, this was one of the arguments when people were arguing and warning about the institution of the 17th Amendment and the changing of the Constitution and adding that in. There were many who raised their voices and said that this will be the undoing of our constitutional republic. And I'd like you to explain to people why people were saying that and why unfortunately it's come to pass. Absolutely. All right, we're going to take our break. We'll be back with more coming up right after this.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at cgrwellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin and mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any different. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin and mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clear. Even believe I slept better. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio at checkout and receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Any of the products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
Hey, this is Pastor Greg. I just want to take a minute to walk you through how to sign up at CGR Wellness. So you're going to type in www.cgrwellness.com. And that is going to take you over here. And the first thing you're going to do is you're going to come over here and you are going to, we're going to shrink this down so it doesn't get in our way. You're going to go right over here to create account. And it is going to offer you the opportunity to create an account. You've got to type in an email address. So we're going to type in an email address. Be good if I put a good one in there, right? There we go. And now, there is a window that pops up. Now, when this window pops up, here's what you need to do. You need to just X out. Just close that window. Okay? Just close that window. Now we go over here, and we'll use a strong password. And then we'll put in our name. And we'll put in our last name. And then we'll put in an address. And the city. And we'll choose our state. And we don't need a phone number. And it wants us to make sure that we're not a robot, so we'll do that. Wow. And we'll create the account. And now the account's been created. Now, there is a share code. I don't remember what it is right now, but it doesn't really matter. Now you'd go over here and type in Vibe. It's your first product you're looking for. And there is the fruit and veggies, superfood liquid multivitamin. Click on that. And you're going to order, I recommend that you order two, and I'll tell you why. If you order two of them and add those to the cart, now here comes the cart. Now, you're going to get your second bottle for half off when you type in Chosen Gen Radio. Chosen Gen Radio, and click apply. And that's going to give you $20 off. Plus, you're going to unlock free shipping. So now when you get your order, you'll get no shipping charge, 2 months' worth for the price of a month and a half. And then you can go back over and you can securely check out, put in your billing information and so on, and you're off to the races. So that's how you do it. Nice and easy. Again, cgrwellness.com. When that little window pops up, just X out of it. You don't need that because you're going to get a $20 discount. Once you completed the form and created the account, go to the top, click in Vibe, and then go. Now, I use Vibe, Resvante, Ultrashot, the EPA fish oil, the Flex, and I also use this is your apple cider vinegar. And this is your ashwagandha. I use those as well. I'm going to run through this really quick with you. Again, omega-3. And then these products up here. Your Vibe. Your Resvante. The Ultrashot. And the Flex. Those are the ones that I personally use every single day. I can recommend each and every one of those to you. and just assure you that they do a great job. They've made a gigantic difference in my health. All right. God bless you. God bless your health. And thank you for supporting our Indian ministry through this as well. And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topics off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses. Folks, I do hope that you will consider, there's two health products here that I strongly recommend to you. The first one you just saw, the CGR Wellness, takes a little work to get yourself signed up for that. But I really do encourage you to get onto the Vibe program. And then the other one is CGR, the number 4 life that you see .com, CGR for life, the detox. And and literally every single day I take the root detox, as well as the Zero In products, and that's these two goodies right here. And I just referred a friend over for this, who has a family member that's dealing with dementia and forms of Alzheimer's, and they have documented evidence. This is widespread used in Europe, by the way, but they have documented evidence, scientific medical evidence, that this has helped in addressing the issue of both Alzheimer's and dementia. Because it's metals that need to be taken out. So I really encourage you, if you have a relative or a loved one that's dealing with those issues, check out the research that's been done. Go to CGR, the number 4, life.com, CGR4life.com. The person, the doctor who created this, cured herself of 3 different types of cancer and MS using her formula. 3 different types of cancer and MS. You can see her story, Dr. Christina Rahm, at CGR, the number 4, life.com. All right. I welcome back again my good friend David Shostokas, Shostokas.com, our constitutional originalist. Get constitutional sound bites. You can also pick up his in-depth look at the Declaration of Independence. And we were going to talk about, let's do that. Let's talk about the 17th Amendment and sure. what that did.
In the last segment, we were talking about how the checks and balances aren't really working anymore because right. the judiciary is not acting as an actual check on the executive. The legislative branch has abdicated their authority by giving legislative lawmaking authority to executive agencies. Executive agencies, of course, do not themselves all actually exercise all 3 powers. They make the law, they judge the law, and then they execute the law all 3 ways. And the reason that this has taken place, when the Constitution was put together, there was a careful structure that allowed for the House of Representatives, who represent the people generally around the country, and that the president was to represent the country at large. He was supposed to do that, represent the country altogether rather than parochial local interests. And the United States Senate was not supposed to represent the interests of people generally, but rather the interests of states as states. And consequently, the senators were chosen by the legislatures of the states. That is, if there was going to be a senator from Illinois, then there would be a proposal to appoint a senator from Illinois, and it would be appointed by the legislatures, and they would vote. And in fact, of course, the Lincoln-Douglas debates that were famous in 1856, Lincoln and Douglas went around debating for the 1856 Senate election. Ultimately, the Illinois legislature chose to send Stephen A. Douglas to the United States Senate and not Abraham Lincoln. And that's how it used to work. Then the 17th Amendment came about and said, you know, we're not going to do this anymore. We're not going to have the legislatures choose the senators. We're going to have the senators elected by the people of the states altogether at large. And so they changed that system. And when they did that, then they ultimately took the senators out of representing the states. And of course, the states had these situations. Nowadays, we have where the state, where the federal government sends mandates to the states. They say the states must do this, or we're going to take away your money for highway funds and et cetera, et cetera. But what they wound up doing was making the senators not representative of the state at large and protecting the interests of the states. They made them like super members of the House of Representatives. And their only job then was to see how much money they could get from the federal government to come back to their state and say, look at what I did for you, as opposed to saying, I protected you from the federal government. And right. Then, so you wind up with senators whose interests are aligned with the central government and not with their state government. And consequently, when it comes to appointment of judges, they approve judges who agree with increased federal power, and rather than judges that have the philosophy of the separation of powers and then the separation between and federalism, the separation between the states and the federal government.
Well, you know, let me just jump into it, because I had a gentleman on yesterday who's running for Congress in Colorado. And one of the things that he said that he complained about, and the reason he's one of the reasons he's running, is because the current representative brought back $1.3 billion less to their state since they've been, or to their particular district. Yeah, since they've been there. And you know, I said, well, don't we want to reduce spending? And he said, well, look, you know, I think he said like 78 cents of every dollar is going to be spent by the federal government on stuff for somebody is going to get that 78 cents, and I'd rather that it came back to us. And I'm like, yeah, but don't we want to reduce the amount of money that they're taking and spending to begin with? And so, you know, again, to your point, if there was actually a senator whose responsibility it was not to go after the money but protect the rights of the people, in a manner of speaking, they wouldn't be, because the Senate is working with the House now to get as much money as they can back to their state. That's the game.
That's the game. That's what the game has become. And now the Senate is part and parcel of that game. And before the 17th Amendment, the Senate was there to protect the prerogatives of state governments. And that's, so there was the different constituencies. But once you destroyed that, you will have only one singular constituency in Washington, and that's to bring in as much money as possible, spread it to where I can, and take credit for spending the money, essentially buying votes. And so that's what it's all about. And they destroyed that. And the 17th Amendment is what destroyed that. And this is problematic, Greg. People don't understand. They say, well, that's more democracy, that they senators are directly elected by the people. And that's the problem, is that the senators are directly elected by the people.
Right.
And so this is there was a very fine balance that was put together by the Constitution to protect our rights. And as soon as they did that, they destroyed that balance. And that's why it's taken 100 years, but little by little. But strangely enough, as the first group of judges that were appointed after the 17th Amendment was put together, were appointed by Franklin Roosevelt. And those are the first group of judges that said, oh, it's okay to have agencies make law. Before that, there was something called the non-delegation doctrine that said, said Congress, because, of course, the very first paragraph of the Constitution says, the legislative authority shall be vested in a Congress of the United States. And so the legislative authority belongs to the Congress. It doesn't belong to FAA, FBI, CDC, anybody like that. And yet they've now delegated that. Before the 17th Amendment, the judges used to say, you can't give away that authority. If there's going to be law, the Congress has to make it. That's not how we operate anymore. And that's the direct result of the 17th Amendment. So we've got problems. We've got a number of problems. And that's why what they did in 1787 was so brilliant and why tinkering with it like that is so dangerous. That's that story. You know, we talked about the First Amendment. I want to bring up something about the First Amendment only because I want to mention Georgia for a moment. We've got these indictments going on in Georgia, Fulton County. There's 161 what they call overt acts applied to President Trump, Reverend Lee, and 17 other people. 159 of those overt acts have to do with some sort of exercise of First Amendment rights, and yet they're now criminalizing them in Georgia. The Georgia case is just so dangerous. And if I may, I'm going to say, I'm going to tell people, I don't know that we had this when Reverend Lee was with you, but there's a give, send, go for Reverend Lee, a give, send, go Chaplain Lee to support the efforts of his defense, which is just, it's going to be very expensive. The government's taking our tax dollars to take away our rights. You like to apply the word tyranny, and yeah, that's a very, very popular word in the Declaration of Independence. And there's 28 things that says when a government does these things, the government has then abdicated their ability to express authority over the people. We are in very, very dangerous territory, and I would suggest that folks read the Declaration and see the kinds of things that Thomas Jefferson outlined that the government was doing that justify the overthrow of British rule in America. And you can see a whole lot of things that he said were justification for overthrowing the British government that the current American government is engaged in.
It really, and that is a scary place for us, you know, to be right now.
Yes.
Because of the really it's an abdication. And this is where I go back to, and I know a number of years ago talking with some friends in the Patriot movement, going back to, you know, the beginning of the Tea Party days, you know, when the Tea Party days first began, a lot of that was about, you know, community groups and gathering together and trying to educate people and educate. And I remember when Obama, you know, had come in, and then we got into, you know, basically 2012, when everybody was sure that everybody had finally realized after about 4 or 5 years that, you know, Obama was bad, the Democrat Party was bad, what they were doing was bad, and there'd be a change. And then there wasn't.
Good news is Romney's not running for re-election.
No doubt. Well, I remember in, you know, 2013, 2014, having conversations with Patriot people across the country who were saying, look, we've been educating for the past 5 or 6 years, and you know, when, you know, we need engagement. We want people to get involved. I think people are not understanding the magnitude of the amount of re-education and undoing of indoctrination that has to happen. I tried to explain to people 10 years ago, you know, and so 10 years ago, I was 52 years old. I said, if you're under the age, back then, if you're under the age of roughly 40, you are pretty much thoroughly indoctrinated unless you've stepped out of it on your own and begun to ask questions and re-educate yourself. Now, 10 years later, that number's 50. The issue that we have to be concerned about and we need to be reminded of is the percentage of the population that is over the age of 50. Or that is 50 and under right now. That's we're talking about 100 million plus people that are 50 and under right now in the United States of America who have gone through an entire education from grammar school to middle school to high school to college to graduate school that have been educated and indoctrinated in a way that makes what you and I are talking about sound like a foreign language.
it does sound like a foreign language. One of the speakers that we were on this past Sunday was a school teacher, and she was talking about the materials that she's been told to teach, that she knows are wrong and she refuses to do so, and the battle that she has within the schools. And then people were talking about the education with the children. I just said, what I think people miss in so many ways is that they talk about the general education, and yet it kind of starts with one. Back a few years back, I had my eldest granddaughter relatively recently graduated from the University of Illinois. And I had been, shortly before her graduation, I'd spent a few days in Washington, and I had occasion to be at the White House. And I came back to for her graduation party, and I brought with me a letter of congratulations on her gaining her degree from President Trump and Melania. Strangely enough, I had it framed, and we opened it up for Allison. And when Allison opened it up, very curious, both she, my mom, and my sister all went, "Melania!" You know, they all got excited that Melania had signed the letter as well. But the interesting thing was that Allison's comment about that was it was already framed and already in something to go on her desk. She already had a new job. And Allison said, "You know, this is so cool. I'm going to be able to put this on my desk and watch my liberal friends' heads explode when they walk by my desk." But this is why Allison, that's the precursor to the fact that from the time Allison was a little girl, we had always told her that she was an Episcopalian, an American, and a Republican, in that order. She got through all this indoctrination with her values and her head intact because her family had said, okay, this is
right.
That.
This is what we believe.
This is what we believe, and this is what's important to us and part of our family. She got through that, and I suggest to folks that, you know, everybody's talking about education and having classes. It says, talk at the dinner table. Talk to your kids.
Oh, no, absolutely. Well, and we're at our final minute. That was the alarm, because this is when I normally start the program these days. But let me just say, I agree with you 100%. It has to start at home. My point is that people need to understand that there is going to be, it is a long-term process that's going to have to happen in order to recapture the hearts and minds and souls of Americans, to help them to understand that their hearts and minds and souls have already been captured by something else. That's the issue. And that's the problem that we face. It's not one we can't overcome. And it's the reason why I believe that the ultimate answer, and you mentioned it, is faith. Our faith in God and our return to our Christian biblical heritage. We'll be back with more Melanie Collette coming up. David, God bless you, and thanks for being with me today. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, Greg.